Have you join us again on the Sabbath day to look into the Word of God. We are certainly very, very pleased that you could join us, and we are seeing more and more persons listening in and joining us, and we just welcome you to be here as much as to welcome those who are here with us. Now, in 8 weeks from now, it is actually 58 days to be exact, I think. It will be the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. And of course, this is going to be, the Passover is on March 28, in the evening of March 28, and then of March 29, I'm sorry, and then on March 30, we have the night to be much observed. It's another observance. And of course, the following day, the 31st, that is going to be the first day of unleavened bread. So we do have quite a series of observances that are coming up. And what we wanted to do today is to launch a series of presentations that will be leading up to the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. This is because it is important to understand what these observances are about as we approach them. We need to see in the Scriptures what God says about them. What we want to show is that these are the observances that God has commanded in the Scriptures, and the observances that he wants us today to be observing. Now, it is just a pity that this is not something that is known or appreciated by the vast majority of the Christian world. And our purpose really is to share this kind of information, because I think there are many persons who think about these questions. Why is it that these observances that God commanded at one time are not valid today? Is it that God has changed his mind and therefore what he was doing before was not the right thing? How does God think? Is God a God who is, as we go along, he is changing? And so for that reason, the things that he commanded to the extent of punishing people for disobeying, that today it's no longer valid? Is that really how God thinks? Well, the point is that when you look into the Scriptures, Jesus and the apostles, they continued to observe the very feasts that Abraham, Moses, and all those before him observed. So, if Jesus and the apostles would have observed these things, could it be that they are for you and for me today? Well, it is a pity that the world has veered away so far from these observances. And the point is that there is a spirit of, you could say, it's resistance or rebellion against the things that were laid down at the foundation. And many believe that they are all changed, that they are no longer relevant for Christians today. But did you know that the Bible speaks about another gospel and another Jesus that many are today observing? And for that reason, we are moving away from the biblical foundations of Christianity. And so today, what we want to do is to look at the question, how is it that the Passover, which God laid down in the Scriptures for us to follow, the Passover on which Jesus was crucified, how is it that today it is not being observed by the vast majority of the Christian church. And why is it that a feast called Easter, which came out of pagan practices, I'm not the one saying that. You go anywhere and read about it, Easter, and you learn that it is an old pagan festival. How is it that we have thrown away God's Passover in favor of a pagan festival? I don't know if you are as concerned as I am, but it concerns me. Because I know God doesn't need old pagan festivals to honor him and to celebrate him. And the very festivals that he punished his people for veering into, it really makes a mockery of God. You know, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, you see Paul expressing a concern there about others preaching another Jesus. He says, for someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach. Or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the gospel you accepted, then, you know, some of you are putting up with it very, very much as though, well, it's okay. And Paul is really criticizing that. I want to suggest to you that today, much of what is being preached is a counterfeit of the real gospel, the real Jesus, and the real Spirit. And so this is why we're going to look at this change, because I'm suggesting here in this presentation that a lot of things have happened along the way. And you and I were just born in the world, and we see these things that are being observed now, and we just take it for granted that they're okay. Mm-hmm. But if we really love God and we really love the Word of God says, study to show yourself approved unto God. So we must take time and look into the Scriptures. And I want you to be very critical of what I'm saying too. I want you to look in your Bible to see if the things that I'm saying add up, if it comes together. Because no matter what happens, you and I want to know that we are pleasing God in the way that we are worshiping Him. And so the question is, how did it happen that the Passover, a feast ordained by God, that it was replaced with Easter, a pagan festival? And how did Christians come by observing this pagan festivals? Now, the first thing we want to do is to show that throughout the Scriptures, the feast which was observed by God's people was the feast of the Passover, and that when Christ came, He died at the time of the Passover, and when He sat at supper with His disciples, He was actually partaking of the Passover. And when He commanded them to observe this festival in honor of His death, in commemoration of His death, it was the Passover. So we need to do that. Because if it is that in the Old Testament, God's people observe the Passover, and then when you come to the New Testament, you're seeing that God's people observe the Passover. Well, you know, nobody can come around and say, well, look, that was for Moses, even though that is always a foolish thing. It is not Moses who commanded these things. This is God. God commanded Moses to say, these are my feasts. So let us look first of all in Leviticus 23 and verse 4 and listen to God's command, because God is speaking, not Moses. God is saying, these are the Lord's appointed feasts. Mm-hmm. Now let us digest that. Whose appointed feasts are they? The Lord's. Okay? And it says, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim. That means it's a worship service. Mm-hmm. They are assemblies. And these are the ones you are to proclaim. at their appointed time, because God has set the time. It is not man that has set the time. So God has given the time, and he's giving the feasts, and he's saying that we are to proclaim them as holy assemblies. And then, verse 5 says, the Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. This is twilight, when it is coming down to night, but the sun is just about being set, and night is just about coming down. Right between there is called twilight. And he's saying that you are to observe it on the 14th day of the first month. Yeah. Now God had come to Israel and say, this will be the first of months unto you, referring to the month of Abib in the Hebrew, or Nisan in the Greek. And so he said, you must observe this on the 14th day of the first month, which is a month of Nisan in the Greek, or Abib in the Hebrew. And then he went on, of course, to name all the feasts, but we are now dealing with the feast of the Passover. So what we have done so far is to show that this is something that God himself commanded. So when people mix this up and say Moses, it belongs, you know, they have missed the boat. They really have missed the boat. Because you're seeing God himself is saying they're mine, which you are to proclaim. Okay. Now, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 22 in the New Testament, you are now seeing there that Jesus is instructing his disciples to observe this Passover. And he's going to tell them that they must observe it in the future. Look at this. I want you to be with me. I want you to look at it. Because it is your decision, after you hearing this, that you can say, well, it is not right. It's not in the Bible. Or you're saying, wow, why has this been in the Bible? And we are ignoring it so much. Now, listen to this. Luke 22 and verse 14. It says, when the hour had come, he, Jesus, sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Because the Passover was eaten at the time appointed that God calls the Passover. Then he goes on, for I tell you, listen to this part, I will not eat it with you again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So it means that this is something you are to continue to observe until the kingdom of God comes, when the supper of the Lamb, which is the Passover, behold the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the earth, which is the Passover Lamb, Christ your Passover, who has died for you. He says, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And then in verse 19, he says, and he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, why wouldn't we be doing this in remembrance of Christ? Because you saw that it's the Passover. I think that's something that we all should think about, because Jesus instructed his disciples that they should commemorate his death, and he gave them the festival that they should observe in order to commemorate it. And then he said to them, it will be fulfilled in the kingdom. So when Christ returns, you're expecting to be in his kingdom, right? But you know you're going to be keeping the Passover then. But you know what? The funny thing is this. It's not funny. It is that if we do not obey him now, we are going to miss all of this. Because it is those who he commands and who obey him, they that endure to the end, who will be saved. Yet, 99.99% of Christians today They're going to observe Easter in a couple of months from now. Are you one of them? Do you think that you should really think about this and observe what God has really ordained for you to do? Turn with me first to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, please, and verse 7. And what you'll see here, the Apostle Paul is now speaking years after the apostles had sat with Christ and had the Passover. And now look at the Apostle Paul speaking to the church. And the church to which he's speaking is the church at Corinth. Now remember, the church at Corinth was predominantly Gentiles. So let us see what he's telling them here, because this is about 30 years after Jesus was ascended. Here's what Paul wrote. He says, Christ, or Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the festival. So, if just in case you thought that, well, now that Christ, you know, he was under the law according to some, and that is why he did that. Here it is. And Paul would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He said that to the church. So, here is a clear command that you are supposed to be keeping the Passover as Paul and as all the apostles kept it. Now, many try to explain away these things by saying, oh, you know, these are works. These are not, you know, the things of the Spirit. We are saved by grace, and, you know, we have the Spirit, and therefore, you know, these are the works of salvation. And God is not interested in works anymore. He's interested in a relationship. Well, I hear you. But if you think about it, that's not a good excuse. Why do I say that? Well, you observe 40 days of Lent. And you don't call it works. 40 days of Lent. You observe another day. It's called Good Friday. And you're not calling it works. Yet it comes out of the pagan festival. And you're observing it. You don't eat meat for 40 days. And you were saying, you know, nothing with blood in it and so on. So what are you saying? Because you're throwing what God gives and saying his works, but you're doing some works there which are coming from not the Bible. You observe Ash Wednesday. That's another day. Why are you calling the days that God commands works, and all these other days you're not calling them works? Why is it that Easter Sunday You go to church early in the morning before sunrise and all this, and it is not works? What is it? Don't you see that there's a contradiction here? And yet, God's days and festivals. So let's put it this way. You observe some days. You do observe days. And you observe them, even long ones, like 40 days. So why not put that aside? Because, you know, it is just that we sometimes try to find explanations to not to do what God wants us to do. And that really, naturally, we are all carnal, all of us. And the Bible says the carnal mind does not love the law of God, nor can it. So let us understand, it is the carnality in me and the carnality in you that will cause us to find excuses not to observe the things which God has commanded us to do. So what we have to do is to do like Christ did, because since he observed the Passover, since he commanded its observance, since the Apostle Paul observed it, and even in the Old Testament God commanded it, and his people observed it, then you and I really have no excuse at all to do this. Now, you know, there's a reason you and I should be concerned about this. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 12 and verse 30. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 30 to 31, when God was sending his people to take control of the land of Canaan, he deliberately said to them that he did not want them to follow the pagan practices. And you and I have to understand that it's the same God that you and I serve today. So we have to know how God thinks. God is not saying that because I was born and I see these things, it's okay for me to do them. He's saying, search the scriptures, for in it there is life. So we must go to the scriptures and find them. Listen to what he says. Take heed to yourself, that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. We're not to do that. You will not worship the Lord your God in that way. So God is saying, look, I want you to worship me, but I don't want you to worship me in that way. And so I'm glad you're listening to this sermon today. And I hope that it is having some effect on, you know, the way you have seen things in the past. It's not your fault. Don't feel that, you know, you're to be blamed and feel down. Feel overjoyed that the Word of God is being opened up. And you have always said the Bible is the Word of God, and it's the Bible that you're seeing these things. So you are really looking into the Bible for your answers. Turn with me, please, to Mark 7, verses 6 to 9. And you're seeing that Jesus himself, in referring to a devoutly religious group, the Pharisees, they were trying to do their own thing, using their own practices to worship God. And notice what Jesus said to them. Because I want you to relate this to the fact that we are using other forms of worship to worship Jesus Christ, when we are using Easter or Christmas for that matter, or many of these other feasts. And what we are saying is, God has some feasts that are the feasts that he uses in order for his people to come into a relationship with him. So if you really want a relationship with God, the way to have a relationship with God is to observe, to meet God on the appointed times that he has established. That's how you have a relationship. You can't be having a relationship with someone and you made a date and then you don't turn up on the date. How is the relationship going to be after that? It's not going to be a nice relationship. You agree with that, right? A very shaky relationship, isn't it? Right. So we want to have a good relationship with God. And so Jesus is saying, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Easter is a man-made festival. So when you observe Easter, you're following the traditions of men. And then he says, for laying aside the commandment of God, that is a commandment that God gave when he says, these are my feasts. Laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. All too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. So God is very much concerned, and the Bible is clear that we must follow God's direction and not the direction of man. So where did Easter come from? How did it come into the church where Christians today are dressing up on Easter Sunday and going out, or on Good Friday and they're going out? And we even have a holiday on those days in many countries. There are holiday because even the state recognizes it. Isn't it interesting? And the ones that God made, we don't recognize it. It really tells us when God says that Satan has deceived the world. And you and I must come to. Now listen to this. I'm going to read this to you from the Nelson Illustrated Bible Dictionary. These are just scholars, okay? And listen to what they have to say about Easter. Easter is an old pagan festival that found its way into Christianity many decades after Christ was crucified. Mm-hmm. So it is something that came into Christianity after, later on. Easter was therefore originally, it was originally pagan, and then at some point Christians decided that they wanted it. To be specific, it was the Catholic Church that decided that it wanted to have these festivals, because the pagans had their pre-Lentil carnival. So that's why you see most of these carnivals, they are coming around that time, because it's still Easter, right? That is why you see the bunny rabbits, and you see the Easter eggs, and you're seeing many other kinds of imageries. Mm-hmm. And you ever ask yourself, what do Easter eggs have to do with Jesus Christ? Yeah. Can you explain that? It really doesn't make sense to us, does it? It doesn't. And so what we have to do is to understand that all these things, the cross bun, you know, that is made. Because there's a little thing I want to tell you. During the time of the Passover and unleavened bread, God gives us unleavened bread. It means bread without yeast to eat. Right. So when we take the Passover, we eat unleavened bread. And then the next day, which is begins now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then we begin to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, because that command is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So in the very way that you stay away from meat, red meat, during Lent, God says you must stay away from something. Mm-hmm. But the thing that he says you must stay away from is yeast, because yeast is a kind of sin. Why does he call yeast a kind of sin? Because yeast puffs up, just the way pride puffs us up. Yeast, when you put it in bread, it puffs it up, a little bit of dough, but it puffs up like this. And God uses it as a symbol, and he says, stay away from yeast. Now, isn't this something? Mm-hmm. That it is at that very time that Easter bun, with the yeast.
Puffed up.
No, just think of it. The very opposite of what God says you must do is being done. And that is when the Easter bun is being baked and being circulated, and gifts are sent of the bun and all that kind of a thing. Very opposite of what God says you must do. That's how Satan works. Satan knows how to try and find ways to deceive us. So he gives you a ritual that is red meat and so on. But remember, Christ ate the Passover lamb, red meat. So Christ ate red meat at that time. And we are doing the opposite. So those things must... I hope it really has some kind of, make some kind of sense to you, to say something is wrong here, and I really need to look at this again, because really, how come I'm doing those things when the Bible says something else? But let me show you something. Turn with me to Acts 19, verse 23, and I'm going to show you how the Apostle Paul came up on the Easter observance during his ministry, and how it actually played out in Acts 19, verses 23 to 28. There you're going to see that the Assyrians, they had the goddess, which is Diana. The goddess is also known as Astarte or Ishtar. That's where Ishtar, the name comes from. And that was a goddess that they were actually worshipping at the time. So look at what he says. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. Now, this is what Christianity was first called. It was called the way. This is why Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So now a great commotion arise about the way. That means people were saying we are to observe this, and some were saying, no, we were to go the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. because they're making Dan, you know, little idols of Dan, and they're selling it. And say, we have a prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout all of Asia, this Paul, referring to the Apostle Paul, has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So they were using this Dan and saying, this is my God, right? And it is because of this Ishtar, which is the God of Easter, that we are looking at here. And verse 27 says, so not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. So notice, it's from long time the world is worshiping the false gods. And you are seeing this happening. And this is New Testament. Don't tell me about Old Testament. Because many people try to say, oh, that is Old Testament. This is in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Verse 28. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And they went after Paul, and there was a big commotion that took place. And notice, Paul was preaching against this Easter goddess. Now you may say to me, no, but I am not worshipping an Easter goddess. I am observing Easter, but I'm worshipping God. I'm worshipping Jesus. And you know, that doesn't sound too bad if you, when you say that. But God said, when you go into the land, do not go after their
gods.
Their gods. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. God or Mammon.
Amen.
And these people are worshipping their money.
Yes.
The idols.
Yes.
And all that kind of a thing. So it is good that we are doing this little study together, and I hope you are following there. Now, the question here is therefore, when in history did it happen? Is there any place in history we can go back to and look at when this change happened, where the Passover was pushed out and Easter was brought in? Yes, there is. And I'm going to take you to a book that everybody, you know, regards it as a very good literature for reference. It's Encyclopedia Britannica. The Encyclopedia Britannica, in its 11th edition, volume 8, on page 828, it says this. It says, there is no indication of the observance of the Easter festival in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. The first Christians, that means those that followed Christ, continued to observe the Jewish festivals, though in a new spirit, as commemorations of events which those festivals had foreshadowed. Means these festivals, they foreshadowed Christ. So although you see them in the Old Testament, they were about Christ. Thus, the Passover, with a new conception added to it, of Christ as the Paschal Lamb and the first fruits from the dead, continued to be observed. So it is laying down and saying, so what Christ observed was Passover, what apostles observed was Passover, what the early church observed was Passover. Okay? Although the observance of Easter was at a very early period in the practice of the Christian church, because it now was leaking in, a serious difference as to the day for its observance soon arose between Christians of Jewish and those of Gentile descent. Because what was happening is that the Gentiles, their old time festival was the Easter festival. The Jewish Christians, they know Passover. So now that and haven't you seen this sometimes in your own church, new people come in. And when they come into your church, they start telling you that, you know, that's not how we used to do it. And they are telling you new things now. And then others, you know, look around, and because you don't want to offend Or you believe that, well, what is it anyhow? It's the same God we're worshiping. So what if we change the date? And all these kind of things begin to creep up. And so the change comes. So the commotion began. It says, generally speaking, the Western churches, meaning the ones that were the Catholic now, because by this time in Rome, they had taken over Jerusalem, they had crushed the temple, and Rome now took over this Christianity, and so Rome was doing their own thing, so they're called the Western churches, right? They kept Easter on the first day of the week, meaning Sunday. They kept Easter. While the Eastern churches, that is those who remained a part of the Jewish sect, followed the Jewish rule, which is observing the Passover on the 14th of the first month, which is what the Bible says. Now, I figure you're saying to in your own mind, okay, so, you know, it's the Jewish thing, and now it is the new thing that has come in. But remember, many people, when they talk about Jewish things, they talk about things like they are abandoned, the things that you should not do. Remember, Jesus says salvation is of the Jews. So if you want to know what is right, look at what God gave the Jews. He says to them, he gave the oracles. Mm-hmm. To them, he gave the commandments. To them, he gave the covenants. And out of them comes Jesus Christ. So you need, therefore, to understand that if you don't like Jewish things, or Jewish people for that matter, you're not going to love Jesus Christ. Exactly. He is Jewish also. So we have to be able to understand these things as we look into this matter. So it means that it was the ones that were the Jewish ones that they that were being come into clash now with the ones that were the Western ones. This was now. Here's a gentleman whose name is very strong in church history, Polycarp. It says Polycarp, the disciple of John, because John had died, and Polycarp was a follower of John. And he was the bishop of Smyrna, and he visited Rome in 159 AD to confer with Antiochus, the bishop of Rome, that is the Western. So here is now a Jewish from the East, right? The follower of the Apostle John, going to Rome to confer in the West with Antiochus of that see on the subject, and urged the tradition which he had received from the apostles of observing the 14th day. He went down there and said, listen to me. You know, I know you here in Rome. The Apostle Paul used to come down here to you and all that. But we notice that you're changing over and you're going away from the 14th day of the first month. And you're going to Sunday. And, you know, you're doing it on a completely different thing. And you're doing a thing called Easter. While, you know, what God gave us was a Passover. He went to discuss that with him. And the Cetus, however, declined. He did not conform. About 40 years later, 197 AD, the question was discussed in a very different spirit now. It was more contentious spirit between Victor, Bishop of Rome, and Polycrates, Bishop of the Asian territory, where they were still carrying on the Passover. And you see there that in this case, the Bishop of Rome, who he spoke with down there, he actually refused, but he not only refused, he actually declared that he would now expel Polycrates from the church. And so for that reason, it happened that there was this problem that occurred. And it says here in the same literature by the Encyclopedia Britannica, it says here, a final settlement of the dispute was one among other reasons which led Constantine to summon the council in Nicaea in 325 AD. And at that time, the Syrians and Antiochians were the solitary champions of the 14th day. They all went and they had this discussion, and it says that Constantine declared that throughout the world, everyone must observe Easter, no longer the Passover. And so the Encyclopedia Britannica says, the few who afterwards separate themselves from the unity of the Roman Church, they continued to keep the 14th day and were named Quattrodecimani. In other words, they were given a nickname, the 14th dayers, right? And so this is really what you see there. So it is well recorded in history when, where, and how this happened. And so you can go back and you can read these things. And there are many, many other literature you can go to that will tell you about how these things went on. It will tell you, for example, about the final, issue that occurred when the life of Constantine, when he made and said these things are forbidden and these things should not be done, and that if anyone is observing this Passover, so they should be locked up. Their churches, their places of assembly should cease, and they should be persecuted. And that is why for many, many years, all that people heard about is Easter.
Yeah.
That is how come you today, and I today, when I grew up observing Easter.
Yeah.
Until I was about 40 something. And it was at a later date I came to know these things. But you know what? You can come to hear these things and you're going to say to yourself, you know, it is 20 years now that I've been going to church and so on. I can't change now. And this kind of thing. And I want to encourage you to really go back to the fact that you said the Bible is the Word of God. And all that happens is that the Bible is now showing to you that it was an error to be observing Easter. And the Word of God says, the path of the just is like a light shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So God is really opening up your eyes to understand more things. And so rather than looking at this negatively, look at it positively to say, you know, God is speaking to me and opening my eyes in how to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And therefore, that is really the great opportunity that you have had today in listening to this presentation, and I trust that you will indeed take a decision to follow the Word of God. Because think about it. The prophets observed the Passover. Jesus observed the Passover. The apostles observed the Passover. The early church observed the Passover. It was later on that this Easter thing came in. And that is why you see very few people today are continuing to observe God's Passover. And we want to know that you are one of those who will have come into the light of understanding that this is what God wants you and wants me to do. The Passover this year is going to be on March 29 in the evening. And of course, we will hear more about this as we speak through this medium. You can join us week after week, every Sabbath, as we will broadcast and tell you more about these things. It will be a whole series. So today was just talking about how did the Passover come to be changed to Easter. But we are going to be continuing with the series. So make sure next week you tune in, and we will have more from the Word of God for you. May God bless you, and thank you for joining us.